gladiators. We are God's gladiators. In the first chapter of the book of Philippians, starting with verse number... Let's go back and read it from the Amplified Bible, from verse 19 through 22. Yes, and I shall rejoice hereafter also, for I am well assured and indeed know that through your prayers and thoughtful, bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, this will turn out for my preservation, for the spiritual health and welfare of my own soul, and avail toward the saving work of the gospel. This is in keeping with my own eager desire and persistent expectation and hope that I shall not disgrace myself nor be put to shame in anything, but that which the utmost freedom of speech and unfailing courage, now as always heretofore, Christ the Messiah will be magnified and get glory and praise in this body of mine, and be bodily exalted in my person, whether through my life or through my death. For me to live is Christ, for his life in me, and to die is gain, the gain of the glory of eternal life. We know that Paul died once and he saw what heaven was like. And I don't think he wanted to come back, but God had a job for him to do. If, however, it is to be life in the flesh, and I am to live on here, that means fruitful service for me, so that I can say nothing as to my personal preference I cannot choose. I am hard-pressed between two. My yearning desire to depart, to be free of this world, and to set forth and be with Christ, for that is far, far better. Now let's go back to verse number 22. Or 23, that is, and read that in the Greek language, synerkomai, de ekton dio, tain epithemion, ekon eisto analuse, kai sin Christo, en e polo gar malon kreison. I am constrained. I am pressed together. It means, one way I can explain this is a hay baler. I know that a hay baler and a cotton baler, a cotton compress, they separate the seeds and then they compress the cotton into a bale. And the same thing with alfalfa hay or straw or oat hay or whatever. They cut the hay down in the field, the grass-like substance. They go along with a hay baler. They let it dry for a while. And then they go along with a hay baler and they put it in this machine and it starts compressing it until a great room load of this hay could be in one little bale. It compresses it together. Now, Paul says, I am compressed together. I am baled like hay. I am baled like cotton. Moreover, I am constrained. I am gripped together. Out of the two desires, this word epithemion there now, see, in erkamai, that means to be gripped together. And now we have epithemion. Epithemion, it means to something that is always on your mind. Willie Nelson sang a song one time, Always on My Mind. Paul says Christ is always on my mind, but one, if I'm in this world, I want to preach the gospel. If I am out of this world, hallelujah, I'm home in glory land. Now this word here, epithemion, it is singular. Absolute strong desire, singular, having, constantly having, present participle, active, nominative, singular, masculine, out of echo. This strong desire, having always. And then we have the word eis to analuse. Eis there is extension and limitation of thought or verbal action. That Greek preposition, which the Hebrew preposition is et, alif and tau. Unto the purpose of to depart, to break up camp. We are pitching our tent in this flesh, in this world, but one of these days we're going to break up camp. That tent's going to fall down, it's going to be put away and put into a casket, a safety deposit box, a hope chest. To depart. This word is used analuse here, like we have here. It's used two times in the New Testament, here and in Luke 12 and 16. It has the idea. I have a lot of these old farming terms because I'm an old country boy. I am. Am I not, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. I'm an absolute relic. An antique. But I don't know whether you've ever had feed in a sack or not, like chicken feed, different kinds of feed. A long time ago, they used to sell flour in 50 and 100 pound sacks, and the flour sacks would have all kinds of beautiful designs on them, and people would use the flour out of it, and then they would make dresses and underwear and whatever. You did that, didn't you, Marilyn? Yes. You still have some of those someplace, I think.
I got an apron.
Yeah, you got an apron made out of flour sack. Well, this word uploose here, it means to break up camp, but it also means, like if you got one of those old flour sacks or any kind of cat food or dog food today, maybe you'll understand that, it's got a string on it. And you pull that string, and it all unravels, if you can find the right string. That means to unloose threads, like on old seed feed sacks and flour sacks, etc. To depart, and to be with, this little preposition seen there, to be with Christ, instrumental, singular, masculine. To be with Christ, and that's infinity. That's something that's always an infinity that carries on and on. Amen. And then we have a word gar here, this casual particle or conjunction, page 75, analytical lexicon. That little word there, for, it is much rather better. Malon is a comparative, and pole is an adjective that means much. And then krason, that means far better, far better. That is a comparative. Paul said, I'm pressured in both directions. I'm baled into a bale of hay or cotton in both directions. I want to go one way and I want to go the other way. But God knows the best. Verse number 24 now. Paul realizes the need for his teaching to the saints. And personally, I do also. I know that all of you out there, Steve and Kathy and Caldwell and Nancy and Gangzang and Phil and Philip, Mark, and so many of you out there need me to teach you. And I try to do that. He said, to de epimenein, en te sarki, anak kaioteron, di himos. Now that D is a contraction there. It comes from dia. Moreover, I know that it is necessary. Now we have the little preposition en there that you find on page 137 of the analytical Greek lexicon. En it means a location. But here, the N is not really in Greek, in the original language. It is in brackets if you look in your text. In the flesh. Now, we have that word in there, whether it's there or not. Because it's a practical substantive or a practical preposition here. and to remain in the flesh. It is more necessary. It is more essential because of you all. Because of you all. But to remain in my body is more needful and essential for your sake. And I know that. So I'm here. I always tell people, when I go preach someplace, I'll preach a sermon or two, and I said, I'm here. You want more? I'm here. Just like that. Do I do that? Mm-hmm. You've seen me do that many times. And I'll wear them out. Even though it is good, only the seat can endure so much stress. But I am theirs. I am yours. And so I try my best to meet the need. 25. Kai tuto, pampoethos, oida, hote meno, kai paromeno, pasin himen, eis tain himen, prokop pain, kai karan tais pisios. This is a beautiful verse, beautiful words in there. Verse number 25. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and stay with you all to promote your progress and joy in believing. You know, God has got a plan for your life. If He didn't have a plan for your life, you wouldn't be here. And Marilyn has been through a lot of things, and God had a plan for your life, didn't He? Mm-hmm. When we got married, she had been imprisoned all of her life and just absolutely not allowed to even have any emotional life at all, period. And when we got married, she may have been middle-aged, but she went through the adolescent, the teenage and young adult, and all of those periods of time all together rolled up into one. Is that right? Boy, what a job. But you know something? Life is a struggle, isn't it? Life is a struggle. The idea of this message and the title of this message, we are God's gladiators. Because so many terms are used in here to where we're under great stress. Paul the Apostle was about to be killed. We don't know how much longer he's going to live. He doesn't know. But when the death sentence was given, it was done. He was beheaded. Now, Christians were being thrown into the gladiator, into the Colosseums, and a Christian went out there. And here I am. And sometimes they would give them a sword or a spear or something and turn a bear loose on them. Or a lion. Or a bull. Or wolves. Or tigers or something. They'd turn them loose in there. Now Gladiator, when he went into the Colosseum, when they called his name or opened the gate where he was supposed to come out of, it was life or death. He didn't know. Life or death. And sometimes they would put gladiators to fight Christians. And if a gladiator went out there, even if he was fighting another gladiator, he did his best to stay alive. He did his best to stay alive. I know that some of you have seen the movie Spartacus. And you saw how the gladiators fought. And they got out there, and at the end of the fight, one of them would be laying on the ground, and the other one with his sword in the air. And he'd look up to the fickle crowd up there, and it would mean life or death. We know that every Christian that died in the Colosseum, or were burned as a lampstand, or whatever, they took and put tar all around them and set them on fire and burned them. Nero had some imagination. We know that every one of them had life. But how many people have been born into this world and lived a life without God and died and went on to death? A man once said, a brave man dies only once, a coward dies a thousand deaths. Paul wanted to be honorable in his death. He tried to be honorable in his life. And in this thing, he said, having been thoroughly persuaded, nominee singular masculine, second perfect, participle and active, second perfect, having been thoroughly persuaded and convinced. And then he says this, I know. Again, oida is first person singular, second perfect indicative active. That I shall remain for myself. That word meno there, that's first person singular, future indicative active. That I shall remain. And I shall continue. That word parameno there, that I shall remain behind beside you. First person singular future indicative active. From para and meno. And then here we have an instrumental plural. With all of you all. For the purpose of, here we have ace, that little extension or limitation of thought or verbal action preposition, page 119. Unto the, for you, as a pro kopein. Pro means before, and kopto means a chop. That I shall remain ahead of you and before you as a trailblazer. A trailblazer. Among the Lakota people, there was a Tonsweya, a scout. He went out when the camp moved, or even if it was sedentary for quite a while, he would go out and skirt and absolute take surveillance of all of the area around him. All the intelligence of what was going on around. And he'd come back and he'd give reports. Now, Paul the Apostle was a trailblazer in that he had tasted death and God sent him back. He was a trailblazer in that, wasn't he? It means to chop forward, blaze a trail. Now in California, the slave plantation entrepreneurs, what we might call the priests of the Catholic Church, went up and down the coast of California, and there was a lot of things, and they did blaze trails, but they did one other thing that they could find their way back. They threw out mustard seed. And that mustard seed, they followed that mustard seed as it sprouted back up and down forth there. That's because they were making slaves out of all the American Indians. They were raping and pillaging them. And they wanted to find their way. And they call that El Camino Real, the Royal Road.
The King's Highway.
Yeah, the King's Highway. Now, Jim Bridger was a trailblazer. There were many other, what we might call, mountain men, trailblazers, guides. As a scout was to the American Indian, when they moved, he went around, he took this reconnaissance and information and intelligence from everything that was coming out, who might be coming against them, where there might be danger, etc. He was the ears and the eyes of the tribe. And Paul is the ears and the eyes of us as Christians. He went through all of these things. He said, I've been a trailblazer. He said, I went from false religion to the truth. And I've been persecuted now from where I came, where I was a hero before, now I am a villain. We all have our families that sometimes the Word of God, sometimes God separates us, doesn't He? Sometimes He draws us closer. But Paul was a trailblazer. His wife disowned him. As far as we know, his children disowned him. Lydia gave him food and shelter. Many people called Lydia Paul's wife because she took such good care of him. Paul blazed the trail in life and death for us, in joy of the faith and the joy of the faith. The faith, the system of teaching, the doctrinal security. We were traveling up in the mountains yesterday. We only had to go about 7 or 8 miles up there, and we were up there to a fishing pond. Beautiful country, tall aspens over 100 feet tall and things. And we were coming back, and Marilyn was just enjoying the beauty of the place. And she said something that just absolutely was wonderful. You might not even remember it, Marilyn. But she said, it's so wonderful to know that once you ask God to forgive your soul, that you're saved forevermore. You never have to worry about that ever again. It's done. Paul tells us about living in Christ and dying in Christ. He's our trailblazer. He's like Joseph Walker. He's like Tom Sawyer. He's like Bill Cody. These people that blaze trails. He's like George Washington. Thomas Jefferson. These are great names in American history. They were trailblazers. They blazed a trail that had never been blazed before. And here we have all of this great glory behind us. And I hope there's some left in the future. But it's going to have to change to get there. Verse number 26 now. Hinato kaxkema himon perisien in Christo Jesu enimoi dietes imes parousios Pauline prosimos. In order that, now this word pride here is the word coxema. It means to brag, it means to boast. It means to tell a story, a hero story. I don't know whether you've ever watched the movie Dances with Wolves or not. It was a true story of the people, that is. The culture of the people was absolutely true. And, this American hero in the Civil War, they sent him out to a post, and he was the only one there. And then he got acquainted with the Indian tribe, and then he became one of them. Nobody ever come and checked on him anything at all. And one thing that he didn't quite understand, the Indians, when they get around the campfire and when they're eating and everything, they start telling stories. And it's stories of heroes. And he was a hero. And he talked about this story, what mythical story, whatever you want to call it, but he had gone out there, and there was a buffalo, a bull that was wounded, and buffalo are very, very powerful beings. Some of them weigh about 2,000 pounds of charging buffalo that can outrun a horse. Well, this buffalo had been wounded, and he comes charging this young boy, and he had his rifle, this scout, lieutenant did. And he dropped that buffalo just before it got to the boy. And they wanted him to tell this story over and over and over again. Bragging or telling this story. Telling a story. It's history. It is a legend. So he became a legend among his people. A long time ago. And I mean a long time ago. I had a dog named Sooner. And that was the best coon, lion, dog that I ever had in my life, bear, dog, whatever, he was it. We had been up, we got a raccoon, we got a possum, and we treat a bear. Well, I didn't have a gun good enough to shoot that bear out of the tree. It was a .22 high standard pistol with a hammer on it, and it was so froze up. My dad had taken my pistol, had a Colt Woodsman, gone. So here I'm going up there, and my pistol is gone. And so I took Fred Bess's pistol, and Fred Bess's pistol was all rusty. And we got up in the woods, and I had to shoot a coon out of a tree. After about 20 times that hammer fell, it finally shot. Then I had a possum the same way, and about 20 times after dropping that hammer, it finally fired one time. And then we treed a bear. I didn't shoot that bear one time. I didn't try to shoot that bear one time. I left that bear up the tree. If I'd have had a .22 pistol that shot, I'd have killed that bear. We killed several bears with a .22 pistol. But I wasn't going to try one that didn't shoot. I want something to shoot so I get in trouble. I got out here a while back after a wolf up here, and I grabbed my .45, 1911, and I got out there and I flipped that slide back and pulled that trigger and nothing happened. And the magazine had fallen out. He said, "Give me a wheel gun. Give me a revolver. This thing here, I don't want to lose a magazine when I'm in trouble." Well, I used to tell my little girl stories at night. You remember that, Marilyn? Every night I'd tell her stories.
About Sooner?
I told her a story about Sooner. When we got that bear up there that night, when we left that bear, we got on back and we were wore out. We walked 26 miles. 26 miles. One direction. We'd been walking all night long just before daylight. We come down there and this skunk kept walking in front of us in the road. And he'd stand on his hind feet and aim his tail at us. And we just let him go on. He'd go on a little bit. Skunks just do their own thing. They just do what they want to. Nobody wants to handle a skunk or to have a hold of a skunk. Well, Sooner came back. And here's this skunk out in the middle of the road in front of us, and Sooner comes out there, and Sooner goes up there just like that skunk's a dog and sticks his nose in his tail, and he let him have it. And Sooner was out there, I mean, with one side of his face down there, going like that, and rubbing himself all over one side and then another, and then I had to clean him up. I went down to the store and I bought about 2 or 3 gallons of tomato juice. It's got acid in it, washes that off. And I used to tell that story, and she said, and Dakota would say, "Tell the story about Sooner, tell the story, Dad, tell the story." Boasting, bragging, telling the story. Now, Paul said, "I'm bragging about you."
And how did Sooner sound? That
yeah. She always wanted me to do that. Boasting and bragging about you in Christ and in me through the presence, through my presence again to you. Let me go back and read this. The word parousios there, by the way, that usually talks about the second coming of the Lord when the Lord comes back for his people here at the rapture, a parousia. The world doesn't say him, but the Christians do, and they go up. Verse number 24 now. "But to remain in my body is more needful and essential for your sake." He said, "Since I am convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and stay by you," that's the word parousia, "to promote your progress and joy in believing." Verse number 27 now, monon, oxios, tu euangeliou, tu Christou, politou este, hina, ete elthon kai edon himas ete apon akuo ta peri himen or himon, that is, hote stekete en ene numate mia saite sin thelontes te piste tu euangeliou. (Clears throat) It said only, the word worthy there, oxios, that's a little adverb in manner. In manner becoming of the gospel. And actually, oxios means the way down the scales. A lot of people in history, we heard the story where the king was put on a balance on a scale, and they weighed, if they loved him, they gave him his weight in gold every year. And that's kind of the idea of this worthy, to weigh down the scales of the gospel of Christ. And then it says, politeiste, that second person plural present imperative middle voice. And I want you to conduct yourselves as good citizens. That's what the word citizen means there. To police yourselves. In order that, whether having come or having seen you, or being absent, I hear that concerning you all, because you stand firmly in the Spirit, with one soul, striving together, wishing together, in the faith of the gospel. In the faith of the gospel. Let's go back and read this verse number 27 now. A wonderful, wonderful story of being a gladiator for Jesus. Only be sure as citizens, so as to conduct yourselves, that your manner of life will be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I do come and see you, or I am about, or I am absent, I may hear this of you, that you are standing firm in united spirit and in purpose, striving side by side and contending with a single mind for the faith of the glad tidings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're one soul. Is what it says. You have a single soul, one soul. Mia psyche. One soul, one mind. Verse number 28 now. Kai me petoromenoi en medene hipo ton ata kemon meno etis esten altois en dexis apolisis apolias, that is, himen de soterios kai tuto apotheo. And don't be a scared horse, is what it says there, literally, in 128. And do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such consistency and fearlessness will be a clear sign and proof and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that it comes from God. Go back and look at some of these words. That scared horse there. Petorum omenoi. It comes from the word petero, means terror. And it's nominative, plural masculine, present, participle, passive voice. That you won't be, you're not having become like a, or caused to become like a scared horse. For nothing. The little preposition he pulled by, the ones lining themselves up against you. Anti ke menon. Anti and kema. General, generative, plural masculine, participle, present, and middle voice. One's lining up against you for themselves, for their own wishes, for their own glory, for their own hate. And it is to them proof. Indexus. Now the word indexus there, it is a Attic word. In other words, it comes from the dialect of Athens. And it means to point out, and it means proof, and it means evidence, actual evidence. What we might call eyewitness evidence. An evidence of destruction, death. The The word apoleios there, apoleios, it means the gladiators, when they're turned loose into the arena, that either they have death or life. The destruction of you all as gladiators, but of salvation that is from God. You may be thrown into the lion's den or into the Colosseum as a victim, but you will come out a victor in Christ Jesus. We are God's gladiators. Verse number 29 now. Hote hemen ekariste to heper Christo u monon to eis auton pistioin alla kai to heper auto paskein. Because to you it was freely given. Because to you it was freely given. Verse number 29 and Amplified. For you have been granted the privilege for Christ's sake, not only to believe, adhere to, and rely on and trust in Him, but also to suffer on His behalf. It was given freely. It was caused to be given freely. It had nothing to... Our salvation has nothing to do with us and all, everything to do with Christ Jesus. And behalf of us Christ, not only unto Him to believe, because of Him to believe, but also on behalf of Him to suffer. The word heper means on behalf of. Sometimes that's a preposition here, but sometimes it's an adverb. But here it means on behalf of Christ Jesus we suffer. By His behalf, on His behalf. Now we have another athletic term. We have another gladiator term here. In the next verse. Ton auton agona. Ekontes. Hoyon edete en emoi kai nin akuete en emoi. And the same struggle in agony. I'm going to tell you something. Those gladiator games were agony for the players. If you won or lost, it was agony. Because many times, even if the gladiator was worn, he was absolutely exhausted or injured greatly. The struggle in the games and the gladiators. We have our struggle as gladiators, having which you saw and discerned in me, and now you hear in me. The Philippians saw Paul suffer in Acts 16:19 through 40. Again, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 2, they saw his struggle. They saw his struggle. You saw my agony. And sometimes it's agony to serve the Lord, isn't it? Agony on the body. Heart on the body. But it's so nutritious to the spirit. So you are engaged in the same conflict. The gladiator games, the agona, which you saw me wage, and which you now hear to be mine still. I still have this real problem, Paul said. I still am living in agony. I am chained. I don't have enough to eat. I don't have enough clothes on my back to keep me warm. But I am going to live until I draw my last breath. His last bloody breath, because he would be decapitated. But he gave his life for Jesus Christ and you and me. He followed in his Savior's footsteps. And may we follow in our Savior's footsteps also, with honor and glory to our God of heaven. Father, please use this message to glorify your Son and yourself. Thank you for this man. that gave his life that we might have the gospel, and for our Savior that